You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Thank you, Father, for your nearness this morning. Thank you for your promise this morning. Thank you for your steadfastness this morning, Lord. Thank you for your truth this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the rider on the white horse, that you are the victorious one crowned in glory, crowned in beauty, crowned in majesty. Lord, I pray this morning that you would open our eyes and open our hearts. Give us the grace to step in, Lord, into your presence, Lord, to see you rightly, to see you as you are, and worship from that place, not questioning, are you good, are you faithful, but knowing because of the empty tomb that you are good and that you are faithful and you make good on your promises, Lord. In Psalm 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes. I'm going to read a different version. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the new moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. And so, Father, this morning we worship from that place. We stand in that place, God. Thank you for that revelation this morning and that understanding that you are on the throne and that you have not left the throne and that you reign on your throne, not in weakness, but in power and in might and in goodness and in faithfulness and steadfastness. You are true to your word. You are true to your own words, and you have never failed, Lord. Your love has never failed, and you have always worn the victor's crown. So, Father, we worship you this morning, and we step in this morning into your faithfulness, God, into your grace, into that goodness that you are, because you say, draw near to me, draw near to me, where we belong, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, and we lift up your holy name this morning. We exalt your holy name this morning. We exalt your holy name this morning. We exalt the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord of all. You are Lord of all. You are Lord of all, and you reign over the nations, Lord. You are Lord of all, and you are King of kings, and you reign supreme, Lord. You reign forever, and the increase of your government shall have no end. Your kingdom will have no end, Lord. What a faithful God we serve. What a faithful master we yield to. What a faithful shepherd we follow.
I'm That is is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. What the Lord's been doing across the earth, not just in the United States, where He has been awakening His bride in the most beautiful, beautiful way, in the most intense way that we have ever seen in the earth, that this would be the time He says, you are alive for such a time as this. And I just keep seeing this picture of this bride that the Lord calls as His bride, and she's wearing this white crown gown. And she forgets that she's got army boots. And she forgets that she's got the armor of God. And I see her just dusting herself off and getting into the closet and pulling out that armor and putting on that breastplate and taking up that shield of faith and taking up that sword and strapping those boots on and tying those shoes and saying, Lord, here I am. Here I am in the earth. I will believe every word that you say. I will stand on your word and I will follow. But real, genuine faith that the Apostle Paul talks about. Genuine faith. Genuine faith. So, Father, I thank you this morning that as we come together in this place and we lift up our voice in unity, Lord, we don't look to the left or the right. We don't see the mountain in front of us, God. And we don't see the low valleys. We look upon that throne and we see the one who has risen. We see the one who is crowned in glory. We see the one who has eyes blazing like fire and is the champion of our hearts and our souls. The one who wears the victor's crown and is the champion and the sergeant of every angel in the heavenly places. He is the head of the armies of angels. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That this morning we step into our rightful place, and if we have to dust off our boots and dust off our armors, we don't take off that white gown, but we allow you to cleanse it and purify it and say, now it's time to put on your armor, bride. It's time to put on that armor, beloved, and stand for my kingdom, stand for my name's sake, stand for the Lamb of God that was slain, stand for the reward that He awaits for, stand for what the earth is growing and waiting for, to see the sons of men revealed, salvation across the earth. This morning we stand, Lord. We stand. We stand, Lord. We stand, Lord. And where we've been weary, God, there's a promise for that. There's a promise for every area where we feel that we're lacking. Any area where we feel we don't make up, God, you say, I have a promise for that. I have a name for that. I have a son who died for that and rose for that. So we believe, we receive, and we advance, God. We believe, receive, and advance, God, this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light
Driving in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. Sing that again. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus lived. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
We give you glory and we give you honor. We give you praises and thanksgiving. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praises and thanksgiving.
And we give you
glory. And we give you honor. We give you praises and thanksgiving. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Praise His name forever.
Forevermore.
no God like Jehovah. There is 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 no God like Jehovah. There's 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 no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Many of you may or may not know, but yesterday was actually, don't sit down. We're going to declare something. Don't sit down. So just keep your, or you can sit down and get right back up so you can keep stretching. But so as there was just some nice religious freedom to declare and decree and just to sing out that what we just did, there's no God like Jehovah. But yesterday was actually the Religious Freedom Day. And so I just want to read the proclamation that President Trump made for National Religious Freedom Day 2021. So we're just going to declare this out and just come into agreement. So faith inspires hope. Deeply embedded in the heart and soul of our nation, this transcendent truth has compelled men and women of uncompromising conscience to give glory to God by worshiping both openly and privately, lifting up themselves and others in prayer. On Religious Freedom Day, we pledge to always protect and cherish this fundamental human right. When the pilgrims first crossed the Atlantic Ocean more than 400 years ago in pursuit of religious freedom, their dedication to this first freedom shaped the character and purpose of our nation. Later, with the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, their deep desire to practice their religion, unfettered from government intrusion, was realized. Since then, the United States has set an example for the world in permitting believers to live out their faith in freedom. Over the past 4 years, my administration has worked tirelessly to honor the vision of our founders and defend our proud history of religious liberty. From day one, we have taken action to restore the foundational link between faith and freedom and promote a culture of religious liberty. My administration has protected the rights of individual religious believers, communities of faith, and faith-based organizations. We have defended religious liberty domestically and around the world. For example, I signed an executive order promoting free speech and religious liberty to ensure that faith-based organizations would not be forced to compromise their religious beliefs as they serve their communities. This includes defending the rights of religious orders to care for the infirm and elderly without being fined out of existence for refusing to facilitate access to services that violate their faith. We have protected healthcare providers' rights not to be forced to perform procedures that violate their most deeply held convictions. Amen to that, those of you in healthcare. Additionally, we have ended the misguided policies of denying access to educational funding to historically black colleges and universities because of their religious character, and of denying loan forgiveness to those who perform public services at religious organizations. Throughout this difficult year, we have continued these efforts, cutting red tape to ensure houses of worship and other faith-based organizations could receive Paycheck Protection Program loans on the same grounds and with the same parameters as any other entity. We've also aggressively defended faith communities against overreach by state and local governments that have tried to shut down communal worship. Together, we have honored the sanctity of every life, protected the rights of Americans to follow their conscience, and preserved the historical tradition of religious freedom in our country. While Americans enjoy the blessings of religious liberty, we must never forget others around the world who are denied this inalienable right. Sadly, millions of people across the globe are persecuted and discriminated against for their faith. My administration has held foreign governments accountable for trampling, in many cases, egregiously so, on religious liberty. In 2019, to shed light on this important issue, I welcomed survivors of religious persecution from 16 countries in the Oval Office, including Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and made history by standing before the United Nations General Assembly and calling on all nations of the world to stop persecuting people of faith. The United States will never waver in these efforts to expand religious liberty around the world, and calls on all nations to respect the rights of its citizens to live according to their beliefs and conscience. On Religious Freedom Day, we honor the vision of our founding fathers for a nation made strong and righteous by a people free to exercise their faith and follow their conscience. As Americans united in unparalleled freedom, we recommit to safeguarding and preserving religious freedom across our land and around the world. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim January 16th, 2021, as Religious Freedom Day. I call on all Americans to commemorate this day with events and activities that remind us of our shared heritage of religious liberty, and that teach us how to secure this blessing both at home and around the world. In witness thereof, I have hereto set my hand this 15th day of January in the year of our Lord, 2021, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 245th. Donald J. Trump. So, amen. We just celebrate that religious freedom that we have. And there's been a lot of things done over the last 4 years, especially to promote that. What's that? So Father, we just thank you for what's taken place this last 4 years to defend religious freedom, Father, to protect babies, to protect the unborn, Father, to move throughout our nation and around the world to have policies that preserve and protect religious freedom, that preserve and protect the sanctity of life, that preserve and protect our ability as faith-based people to live out that faith, Lord, as you have called us to live that out without the government intrusion. So we just thank you and ask that that would go forth in the coming 4 years, Lord. We just declare that it will continue, Father, that anything that would attempt to thwart that or to remove those protections, Lord, we just thank you for a way and a means, Lord, that you would just provide to stop that, to prevent that, Lord, that there would be more freedom for your people, Lord God, for your gospel to go forward, for lives to be saved. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Whew. We are going to sing the Star Spangled Banner. No, this is not grade school, but this is what we're going to do, and it's going to be posted up here. We're going to sing it out with everything inside of us. And for those of you who don't remember what this is, the Star Spangled Banner is our national anthem. May you never forget, children and adults. And obviously, Francis Scott Key is the one who wrote this during the War of 1812. And when he saw the flag of the United States still flying over Fort McHenry, Maryland, after a night of attack by British troops, the tune is from a British popular song of the day. And then Francis Scott Key was actually inspired by the sight of a lone U.S. flag still flying over Fort McHenry at daybreak, as reflected in the now famous words of the Star-Spangled Banner. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. And our Lord Jesus Christ is behind the United States flag, the United States of America, and is appalled as any American would be at any desecration, anything that would consider itself or be considered as something that would rise up against the knowledge of God, which is very wicked, violent, religious, and evil. And we won't stand for that. We stand for truth, justice, liberty, and the American way. So with all of that being said, we would like to sing, and that's nice and loud for those who would be watching online as well, and you'll be able to see the words up here. So we do this in consecration to our allegiance to Jesus Christ, who is the leader of our country. He is the ultimate commander-in-chief. And we are still asking him to continue to move and make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And we had a great time of prayer on Friday night from 9 to midnight. And it was there was a Zoom call as well for those who couldn't make it in here. But there was a lot of revelation, a lot of prayer for all of our overseas contacts, as well as what's going on here. We do have the recording from that, and you can have that. We're not just randomly sending it out, but you can let some of our leaders know that that's what you would like, so that you can join us in that. And we are having also our annual meeting right after this, and we invite you to come and stay and see what the Lord has done, to give glory to him and to hear some things for this coming year and to celebrate, because we are not finished. We are pioneers. We are those who are standing in the gap. We're passionate pioneers, pioneers who pay a price. So those who go before into the unknown territory, this is how our country was founded, and we've been praying and fasting and believing and trusting God with all things pertaining to life and godliness for our country, for our lives, and we're still asking you, Lord, your way is higher than our way, but we're asking for an 11th hour miracle. No matter what that looks like, because you are in charge, you are in control, and you are not limited by anything that we think limits you. And so we get ourselves out of the way, but we call out for truth, righteousness, godliness, and for the Lord to give us that in these next 4 years, that we wouldn't be under an evil regime. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We're asking for that. We're believing for that. And we're thanking you for your justice and your righteousness to fall on this land and follow us in this season. In Jesus' mighty name, let's sing this together. Nice and loud. Amen, amen, amen. And this will be, this is recorded, so share away, baby. Okay. God is good. God is good. And just to reiterate how good he is. Our faith is in you, O God. And you will have the last word. And we will never stop or quit. And when that becomes rhema word to each individual in our country, the tide will change. Because the Lord is the Lord, and he wants to bring an end. What he wants to bring an end to are two things, guys. He wants to bring an end to the wickedness in our land, but also self-righteousness and religious thinking and spirit. That's wicked. So the Lord is calling an end for all of that in each one of us, so that he is able to, desirous and going to, release the third great awakening. So for us, as the ecclesia and the church, we must take steps in our own way for our own sphere of influence, and not just point at the evil in our country, but be aware that any thinking that's just our own opinion and our own thinking and call it Holy Spirit is just as evil. And it is evil because it will bring division. And the Lord is not about that. He is not about that. So that's our role as we stand against all the things that seem to be against our freedoms. And it's true. But don't forget that he's speaking to us individually, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Not peacekeepers, peacemakers. That means Holy Spirit has to reign in our thinking, in our actions, and in our decisions. And if he is not, then we have to change, not him. Amen? So let that be an encouraging word, so we're not falling down a slope because we're inadvertently used to harm others. That's not wise in our zeal to do good. So we need to be very wise. And it was pointed out last week during 100 hours of prayer that anything that we think is wisdom that doesn't come from heaven doesn't even exist as natural wisdom. There's no such thing. Clearly laid out in Scripture. Darlene unpacked it. It's so beautifully by the Spirit. So this is a time that every choice we make, decision we make, thing that we do is coming from the wisdom from heaven, not what we think is best. That's very important because the enemy is lurking to try to knock people out of what they're supposed to be doing, thinking, and being. It's really true. So may that be a word of encouragement for each one of us. Rachel is going to lead us in communion in a moment, but I just want to draw your attention quickly, and Pastor Bill has the word of the Lord for us also here. But in Philippians chapter 3, I read one verse last week that was highlighted in Pastor Benjamin's release of prayer and all over us, and everybody got a copy here, and hopefully it's posted online. If it's not, could one of you folks do that today from last week so you can read it? But if you haven't read it, read it. Read it and own it, because it is about dying to ourselves and living for Jesus. So good, so important. And if that starts to make us anxious inside, or I just got too much, the problem is inside of us. So read it and enjoy it, because it was a word brought from the Lord. And there's extra copies out in the foyer, I believe, because it is about the place that we all need to be after singing something so glorious here. I'm going to read these verses and invite Rachel White to come up. She had an amazing vision on Tuesday and shared it with me here. And I said, Rach, can you share that with us? But it just goes along with all of this. So the Lord is saying, take inventory. Our ourselves so that we're really flowing in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Our prayers are powerful, beloved. And if you think it's too late for anything to happen, it's not. Ever. Ever. We have to believe that. So just a few words here from Philippians. Be encouraged in chapter 3. Oh, yes. But whatever things, this is verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Okay. Think about that. Think about that. That's what we read last week. Whatever things were gained to me. Because the verse before that is coming again from the Apostle Paul saying, I persecuted the church with my zeal. Wow. I think he knew what he was forgiven from. And he was able to really lay it out there for us. Just love it. As Saul went to Paul. Persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness for which the law was found blameless. Wow. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them rubbish so that I may gain Christ. This is a day of gaining Christ more and more and more individually. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Wow, this righteousness that we're standing for and decreeing and wanting in our country, it's so precious. It's covered. It is the blood of Jesus. It's so precious. So what we do, what we say is critical in this hour. Critical. Everything has been taken to another level. Don't kid yourself. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Years ago in Philippians 3:10 was actually given out on dog-like tags. They were given to everybody who was part of Frontline. Philippians 3:10. It has never changed. We believe that we are being raised up like a Navy SEALs troop and group to go worldwide. And the warfare has been unbelievable. But the way the enemy would try to continue that is through our own self-righteousness or division in another way, while we're warring for righteousness. So be aware, be aware, be aware. Okay? Just a word for each one of us individually, to lead us in humility. Okay? Humility is the key. Humility is the key. And then finally, I love this, verse 11, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The Lord is coming. He is telling us, he's riding on the clouds. We sang it out today. It was so amazing. We're pumped up. We're filled up. We're with overflowing power and authority today. And the Lord says, now walk in it when you walk out the door. Amen? Verse 12. Not that I've already attained to it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which I also for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. That means that we're not encumbered by things from the past, but we're delivered from them. We don't use something that we feel like, oh, and use it as a justification for what we say and do now. That is not okay anymore. To hide that under the blanket of what we think grace is. That's greasy grace. That's the permissive grace. And we need to get that in this season for us to be most effective. Okay? So if something still kind of bothers you that comes up, deal with it. But don't move forward with it and dump it on somebody else as a reason for what you say and what you do. Our words are powerful in this season, so powerful. So be wise, wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Deal with whatever it would be or is or has felt like. Deal with it so that it is not influencing you in a way that's for something to be called Holy Spirit that isn't. With a desire to just be transparent and be fooled. There's self-righteousness in that. We don't want that. We don't want that. These are just some things the Lord's been speaking for the future, because we're in a very interesting season in our country, in the ministry, in our families. We have to respond in a way that really equals what God has released to us. We can, and we have to help others as well. And we'll be more effective to help people who really are in bondage and trapped. And if we have little bondage, let's deal with it. For those who are in large bondage need us. They need us. They need to know. So we need to understand how the spirit of rejection really works, and not partner with it, but not be used by the enemy to foster it, because that's what we can do and not even know it until later when we grow up. So this is the time to grow up. So take that in heart. It's very important for this season, as we're expecting things to turn around in our families and ministries and country and nations, right? So this is a step up into another place, a higher place in the spirit that takes humility to receive. If we receive this word, there will be a humble response to the Lord. Amen? Oh, I'm so encouraged. I'm encouraging myself. This is good. Thank you, Holy One. And then finally, I press on. So verse 15 reads, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything we have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to us as we lay before him." He will. If we're not hearing it, he might be telling someone else, because we don't want to hear it. But he will reveal. So we want to hear it directly from him is best. But he also can help us as we're learning how to hear. Sometimes our blocks keep us from hearing. So we have to work with God on that. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. And brethren, join in following my example, Paul says, and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. And this is the way the Lord is going to break patterns in our life that we've had, that God says, it's time. Let's do this, and then we'll really let freedom ring. It's time. Don't hide anymore. It's time, if that is helpful for anybody. I don't know. It just came to me. But Rachel has a word, and I want to hear it. So God bless you. A vision. This is from last week, right, Rachel? Or Tuesday?
Okay. I just want to say I'm very thankful to be a part of a body that honors the Lord, and just how we exalt him. And I think that is first and foremost. But I had a vision on Tuesday night when we were in worship. And first I saw a golden calf, and I saw the Ark of the Covenant. It was kind of interesting that they both were made of gold. And I just heard the phrase, choose this day whom you will serve. And I felt like God was speaking to the body of Christ. Who are you going to serve? And then I saw this round circling, it was like an alternative blue color. It wasn't navy blue, it was like a teal, and it had black, and it had jagged edges. And as I just leaned into that, like, Lord, what is this? I sensed that it was the evil agenda that wants to overtake our country. And I heard the phrase "back the blue," which I'm not exactly sure how that all fits, but it wanted to smear itself into the flag. And And then I saw the Patriots, like George Washington, dressed like George Washington, just march in the church right here. And I could only see one, but I knew that there was three of them. And then, and he had an American flag over his shoulder. And then I saw Jesus come, and he was right here in the center. And he also had the American flag, and he had this just a cream-colored robe, and just his look on his face was of confidence and focus. And as we were, and all the time, like whatever we were singing, it was going along with the picture that I was seeing, and we were singing, "Be magnified, be magnified." And as we were magnifying Jesus, and I saw him standing here, the color from his robe, the cream color, just went up into the flag, onto the American flag. And instead of that blue that I had seen, it was the lightness and that color that came onto the flag. And the Lord was impressing on me the importance of worship. And that's why I was, this morning worship was so powerful. And I'm so thankful for that. And I was thankful for everything that Josh was speaking out on Tuesday. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it's like, I saw this picture. Yes, there it is. He's the right in the center. He's right in the front. And we need to magnify him. That will make the change on this, in this inner country. And I Googled then what the white of the flag is. It stands for purity and innocence. And so I believe that's what God is impressing on the church.
Yes, Lord. So as we are coming toward the communion table, towards the elements this morning, to just sharing that together, there's been a lot that's already been spoken and shared and imparted this morning, but I believe the Lord wants to bring it all together with the idea of joy. And that's what I heard this morning as I was praying about communion. And at first it's kind of like, really, with everything else that we're facing and going on, you know, is joy the the priority for this morning? And but the Lord was just spoke joy. And as Jamie was leading worship and in that and speaking out, you know, that the year of 2021 is going to be a year of joy, I just feel like the Lord wants to release that this morning over us. And as we look at the bread and the wine representing what Jesus did on the cross, and considering joy, I was just reminded again of Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says that Jesus endured what was before him, endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. So let me read it to you right now. It says, "Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us." That's what Pastor Mary Pat was just exhorting us towards. "Looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And as I read that, one of my thoughts is, wow, the Lord views joy a lot differently than we view joy, I think. but seeing how he's going to grow that in our hearts and our spirits and our lives this year, as we're going to be people of joy, marked by that. And a phrase that caught my attention said, we're looking only at Jesus. We're running the race looking only at Jesus. And so I looked at the Passion Translation just to get a different perspective on that. Let me pull it up here. So verse 2 in the Passion Translation says, "We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who births faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: Because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're going to let that grow in our hearts this year as we look away from the natural realm and fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. And knowing that there's a place in the Spirit where we can be in his presence. And the word says, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And my emotions go up and down, the same as yours, the same as anybody's. But knowing that we're spiritual people, we're not only in this realm. We are spiritual people. And there's a place made for us through Jesus, through his body on the cross, where we can come into his presence, into fullness of joy. He's wiped out every grievance that was, you know, against us, nailed it to the cross, died and rose again, so that there's nothing preventing us from coming into his presence. There's nothing preventing us from being a spiritual people who will live in the presence of God, where the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that goes for this year, that goes for every year. So we can set aside all of our human circumstances, all of our human emotions, all of our human experiences, and we're going to come into the presence of God this morning as we take communion, and just let him usher us into that place with him, where there's a joy that's an overcoming joy, and we're gonna set our hearts on that. We're gonna experience that, and we're gonna walk in that this year. So, Father, as we come together, Lord, just to take this communion, Father, Lord, we know that it's because of you, Father, that you considered us so valuable to you, Lord, that you endured the cross, Father, for the joy of knowing that we would be yours, Lord God. Father, we're loved by you in that way, Father. We have a God who gave everything for us that we could come and be close to you, Father. So we thank you, Lord, that we take advantage of that this morning, Father. Lord, we welcome you to show us, Father, if there's anything, Lord, that's keeping us from connection with you, Lord, anything that would be preventing us from coming fully and honestly and authentically into your presence, Lord God. Father, we welcome you to show us, Lord, because we don't want it there, Lord. Father, we repent, Father, of the things that you show us, Father, the things that you bring to mind, Lord God. Father, we ask for your cleansing, Lord, for your forgiveness, Father, and we ask for a turnaround in our hearts, Lord God, full repentance, Lord. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that as we are here in your throne room, Lord, that there is fullness of joy in your presence, Lord, because you are the author and perfecter of joy. So, Father, as we take this communion together, Lord, we lean into that space, Father, that secret place, Father, where we are right before your throne, Lord God, and we're looking at you, Lord, and we know that you are the author and perfecter, Lord God. You are the beginning and the end, Lord. You're the Alpha and Omega, Lord. You're everything that we sang about this morning, Father. You're everything, Lord, that we've been desiring in our hearts, Father. You're everything that we're looking at, Lord, in this season. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. I release joy, Father, over every person, Lord God, who's in this church, Father, who's watching online, Father. I just release your joy, Father God, that is our strength, Father. Your joy that is the weapon, Lord God. And Father, we just receive it, because it comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Father, we thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, Lord, that your truth is the same centuries ago as it is now, because you are truth. You haven't changed. The truth hasn't changed. We bless you. We thank you for that. We can count on you. There's no variation in you. You stay the same, but you're so surprising. Father, we thank you, God. We humble ourselves before you, and we receive all that's been released today, God. Everything from the worship to the visions to the communion time, Lord, we draw our hearts close to you that we can receive the maximum. Father, no little dabble, do you? We want it all, Jesus. We want it all, Jesus. We cry out to you for that. We know you're more than willing to give it to us. It's up to us. Are we going to open our hearts wide open, without reservation, with abandonment in us to receive all your releasing in Jesus' name? Yes and amen. I guess the children are still in here. I see them. They can go to Kingdom Land. They must have been the ones singing so loudly on the Star Spangled Banner. Yes, Lord. Okay, we're going to Exodus 14. Who's with me? Okay, three hands. Woo! We're rolling. Exodus 14. Find it on your phone. Find it in the Bible in your hand. First of all, I need some volunteers. I know Lawrence has done some scuba diving before. I know Judah finds all kinds of treasures just in his yard. So maybe we can have those as part of the team. Anyone else like to go scuba diving in the Middle East? Okay, we'll just have to... Okay. You have your own inner tube. Yes, Lord. Okay, so we have three people on the team to go scuba diving to the Middle East. I think they should go. Oh, you're going to go? Okay, four on the team. I think we should go find those chariots. That would be an archaeological find, wouldn't it? Okay, Exodus 14. In November, right after the election, we had a prayer time with some of the men that join on 7 o'clock weekday mornings to pray. And right after the election, there were some words that were released. One of the times right after the election had taken place. And one of the words released was, he doesn't take you halfway across the Red Sea. The Lord will not take you halfway across the Red Sea. And so let's go to Exodus 14 and see what that word might be all about. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. These are places that you could GPS, maybe not get the same names as back then, but God is very intentional about showing the exact spot. And it's kind of interesting how he does that. All those details, just so it helps us. We need details. Many people want to know more details. And they come all the time asking questions about the details. Well, God releases those in the Bible for us to satisfy those curious hearts and minds. For Pharaoh shall say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Interesting. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Then he kind of softens the heart of Pharaoh. So eventually the children of Israel leave. He softens it by plagues. And then he hardens it again so that Pharaoh, despite the plagues, despite losing his eldest son or one of his sons, I guess it was the eldest, yeah, it is the eldest, and all the Egyptians losing their eldest son, he chases them anyway because of a hardened heart that God was involved in. Incredible. Now, it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" Well, it might be because you realize there's a mighty God that sent plagues in your direction if you didn't do what he wanted. So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He's going to lead the charge. The leader of Egypt is going to lead the charge of all those that already have had loss in their lives because of hanging on to God's people and not letting them go. He's going to lead the charge to catch up with them and bring them back, and no doubt make their slavery even worse than it was before. So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots. So those scuba divers will be looking for 600 choice, dressed out, completely cool ride chariots. And all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Again, it's mentioned. And he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. Now, they went out with boldness before they found out that he was pursuing them. You'll see that here. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, they were afraid, they cried out to the Lord. That's a good thing, don't you think? When you're afraid, when we have fear come against us, isn't it? That's a good thing, to cry out to the Lord, right? Cry out to him. He's the only one that can bring in the peace, the faith, the trust in him, show himself to be as mighty as he really is, and then fear goes. I just like saying that. And fear goes. So they started out well, but then verse 11. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we were told, that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Let me ask you, have you heard these voices in this period of time of history in the United States? These very voices. Why would you lead in this way and get a whole bunch of people mad and upset? Why would you trouble our nation like this? Why couldn't we just keep things calm and sweet and move forward? We'll just stay slaves. We don't care. Slaves to a corrupt system. That's okay. That's all right. I mean, we were getting along. We had our meals. Okay, the work was rough, but the living was, you know, not so great. We've got millions of children dying. But we're satisfied. Why'd you take us out here? We hear those voices. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Yeah, that deserves an amen. Not for me, for what it says here. "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." See, we can be calm and let the Lord fight for us. We can be in joy, as was already expressed by Rachel this morning. We can be in that ultimate joy and let the Lord fight for us. And where he says fight with him in partnership, we do that. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me?'" There's a certain point that the Lord says, "I've received all the prayers, I've filled all the bowls. I've received all the prayer, and I've filled all the bowls. Now it's time to act." And this is the moment when we stay bold. We let God extract the fear. It might be with one person that we're being bold. Maybe we're gentle. We're kind. We're loving. We have a smile on our face. We let that joy shine out of us. But we're bold. We don't back up. We press in. "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Now, what were they looking at? Check your Bible maps in your Bible. The Red Sea. Now, where in the world they crossed that has been disputed over the centuries. But it's the Red Sea they're looking at. "Go ahead. Move forward." First question might be, okay, where's the boats? Got to be here somewhere. God has never done this before. And they're looking around going, okay, the boats have to be floating up here soon to move forward into the Red Sea. No boats. "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea." When you cry out to God, he gives you specific instructions. If you're in intimacy with Jesus, the Holy Spirit can speak to you the very next step, and sometimes a couple steps ahead. And then as you step, more is revealed. It's like when you take a flashlight out at night. They advertise them on TV, but they never really shine for a mile. You ever notice that? "This will shine for a mile." And you take it outside and go, it's not that far, really. So you step into that light, and the flashlight light moves ahead of you, and you keep going. So you might only see the first two steps with the Holy Spirit, but he's going to enlighten the entire path, amen? He's going to enlighten the entire path before you. He wants to lead you. He wants to speak to your spiritual ears. He wants to open up your spiritual eyes so that you are led. You can't guide yourself. We're terrible at it. I raise my hand. I am terrible at guiding myself. Just terrible. I look back at some of the things where I got, I'm not going to tell you all of them, but look back where I jumped in to guide myself, and it doesn't turn out well. But when the Holy Spirit does it, if we're hearing accurately, it's incredible what he opens up in front of us, multiplies our destiny right in front of us, and it's always over our head. It's always more than we can handle. That's why we need to depend on him as we step into those things. Amen? That was a small amen. How about a big amen? Amen? "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it.'" Never been done before. Never been done before. Was it done after this? Yes, it was. Joshua going over the Jordan. There may have been other instances as well. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. That had to encourage him. Through the midst of the sea. He's got a bunch of complainers now that are afraid. They're complaining to him. Think how he feels hearing this. They're going to go on dry ground. They're not even going to get their sandals wet. Dry. It's not just going to open up and then you walk through the mud. All the way across the Red Sea. You want to hear that again? No, that would not be any fun. God just smooths it out, brings the dryers in. You know when you go through the car wash? That last step brings the dryers in. Yeah. What are you looking at me like that? Isn't that what happens? Both sides. And it's dried out. Your car's dried out. That's what God did. Brought in those big blowers. Dried out the ground. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. And they shall follow them. Still he's hardening. Do you think the Egyptians are hearing from Holy Spirit? Do you think the Egyptians have heard one word from the Lord? No, that's part of the hardening. They don't get to hear the conversation. Do you know that people in the world do not communicate with God? Their prayers go up and you know, they never hear anything back in many cases. The only thing he tries to say to them is, come to me. Come to me so we can establish a relationship that you're going to hear. And your cries are going to be heard. The only cry I'm going to listen to is the cry to come into relationship with me. Now, he's gracious, and he adds to their life, but usually it's different than many of their requests. Really. He blessed my life many times, but I could tell when he was doing it, and I was sometimes mixed up in stupid stuff. They don't have the relationship, let's just put it that way, that you have. And so when you walk into a store, you might be the only person in that store that actually is hearing from God and speaking to God, and he's speaking to you, and you have that relationship. That should cause the compassion of Jesus to rise up inside of us. They don't know him. They can't hear him. He doesn't really answer their prayers the way he could, because he wants them to be in relationship with him and give him the glory for the answers. Some people go around saying, well, what do you mean about Jesus? I pray. Like, that's a badge for them. It should be a cry to God. There's no badge for us for praying. We should want that connection with him. Are you with me? Some of you look a little like, okay. It's okay. You can look that way. You'll have your own thoughts on this, but the bottom line is you are communicating with God, and it can become sweeter and sweeter and closer and closer and closer and closer. They don't have that opportunity. And so, you know, these Egyptians are clueless. They're not in on the conversation. They're not in the family. They're not going to hear anything from God. So, of course, their hearts are hard and become harder. Ah, there they are. Let's go get them. God's people? You already got whacked with a whole bunch of plagues? You're doing the same thing? Are you crazy? Their hearts are hardened. Deceived people do absolutely crazy things. Not just in the world, in the church. That's why we need the fear of the Lord. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh. See, part of this is about I deserve honor, Pharaoh doesn't. Back in those days, Pharaoh was considered not only the ruler over Egypt, he was considered God, one of their gods. Now think of that. You've got the responsibility to be God over a people. And so you take all their worship and all their tribute and all the stuff that comes to court, but you do nothing for the people. Well, there is a God that's far above Pharaoh. And Pharaoh needed to be humbled. In this season of history, there's a God of this world, and he needs to be humbled. He needs to bow his knee so honor goes to the proper person, and that's our mighty God. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh, over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. He doesn't leave anybody out. I will be honored above every bit of society. My kingdom is over the United States of America and every nation on the earth. And I will receive honor. Why? I'm the only one that deserves it. I'm saying God, not me. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. They need to know that. Not Pharaoh. Not their society with the pyramids and all the buildings and the incredible things that we find in archaeology. No. They need to know that God is the Lord. When I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen, not leaving anybody out, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel. Are you celebrating that? An angel of God accompanied them, went before them. What's happening with our lives? Think angels are involved? Do we worship angels? That was an awful weak no. I want to hear some more. Do we worship angels?
No.
Do we worship angels?
No.
Do we worship angels?
No.
No, but they are helpful. They are helpful. And they're being invoked in this season. They're being seen in this season in Washington, D.C. And they're active. Let's praise God for that because he's the one that sends them. They're just messengers. However powerful they are, they're just messengers.